Well, the Spirit is here in this place. It doesn't matter if the gremlins from the enemy try to get in and mess up the computer. He's still here, and I hope you can sense his presence. I don't know about you guys, but when I know his presence around, I get all those goosebumpy thingies. That's a theological term, by the way. Goosebumpy thingies. Yeah. You'll find that in John Ariah chapter 3. Someone's going to start looking. Wait, where's that at? Yeah, right smack dab in the middle. Well, we're going to start our Christmas series today, as it's the first Sunday of Advent. And after Christmas, on the 31st, I won't be here, but the Gideons will be here to share with you. And then the first Sunday in January, we're going to start we're going to do about another 6 or 7 weeks on the book of Acts. So if you want to read ahead, pick up where we left off, and we'll be taking off from there in January. So I found this story about a guy called U Thant. That's actually his name. The letter U, Thant, T-H-A-N-T. I went, that guy can't be real. He's real. He was once the Secretary General of the United Nations, and in 1965, he was speaking in front of 67 scholars and statesmen from 19 different countries. And they were all there to talk about requirements for world peace. And these were the questions that he asked those guys sitting there. He said, "What element is lacking so that with all our skill and all our knowledge, we still find ourselves in the dark valley of discord and enmity? What is it that inhibits us from going forward together to enjoy the fruits of human endeavor and to reap the harvest of human experience? Why is it that for all our professed ideals, our hopes, and our skills, peace on earth is still a distant objective seen only dimly through the storms and turmoils of our present difficulties?" Well, we know that is because of a lack of following of a prince who was born 2,000 years ago. In Acts chapter 3, he's called the Prince of Life. In Revelation chapter 1, he's called the Prince of the Kings of the Earth. And in Isaiah 9:6, he called the Prince of Peace. So what I want to do this morning is I want to take that Prince of Peace, and we're going to look at three different dimensions of peace. Okay, the first one we're going to look at will be the peace with God. The second part we'll look at will be the peace of God. And the third part we'll look at will be the peace on earth. And so we're starting with the peace with God. And you know, throughout history, millions and millions and millions have sought to find peace with God. They knew they had to have peace with that higher power that was up there, that was in control of everything. And so you read through the history books, and you find all sorts of different ways that they tried to attain that peace. They tried through religious rituals. They tried through good works. They tried through money. They tried through possessions. They tried through everything they could find to find that peace with God. But all they found was that there was this great gulf between them and God. This thing between us human sinners and the perfect Holy One that was out there. It was a debt that could not be covered with however many amount of rituals we could come up with. It couldn't be covered with money. It couldn't be covered with works. That they found that there was only one who was going to be able to pay that debt. Only one who could break down the barriers that come between us and God. Only one whose blood created a peace for us with Him. And what we find is that that peace comes through Christ alone. His sacrifice that He paid. We don't think of it often as this, Because we come to Christmas and you think of the joy of his birth. But that was sacrifice number one. He gave up the throne of heaven to come down here. Sacrifice number one. Now we think of it as a joyous thing because he came to earth for us. And by the way, side note, all those that went to the youth group movie last night, totally recommend going to see The Star. It's a good movie. If you have kids or grandkids, yep. Maddie was just like, yep, that's right. It was a good movie, and if you're worried about them messing up the gospel message, don't. Okay? So it's a very good movie. Obviously, they take a little bit of artistic license because it's seen through the eyes of a donkey, but I'm not going to repeat that. This is recorded. We're going to be putting Beth in the corner. But he sacrificed for us. He came here as sacrifice number one. And we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, here's the key part, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Did you catch that? Peace with God. I don't have to fret over the punishment or his wrath that comes down because of my failures, because of my sins, because of my shortcomings. The gulf, the debt has been forgiven. It has been covered, and it gives us peace with him. And the next step is, not only does it give us peace with him, we become his child. How about that? And here's the better part. I've probably shared it here before because I've been here forever now. Sure feels like it. I know, that's not a very good retirement plan, 40 more years. But when you adopt, okay, I'm going to throw Jenny and Carl under the bus. I didn't warn them this was coming. Can you ever disown your child? Legally? No. When you adopt a child, you can never legally disown them. I can disown the pesky little brats that are actually blood. Isn't that something? You can disown your blood. You can't disown those you adopt. Wow. Yeah. You can't. You would show up before the judge, and the judge would say, sorry, you're stuck. So think about that with God, because he says you are his adopted child. That word was not just some random word that God used to say, hey, I like that word. He wanted you to understand that you were his forever because of what Jesus Christ did for you. There you go. I was getting ready to say, can I get an amen? But I didn't have to. And so we have peace with God. What comes with that, as we get that peace with God, it starts us down the path to get the peace of God. There's a difference there. The peace of God depends on our relationship with him after we've received that Holy Spirit. See, there are a lot of people sitting in churches this morning who have peace with God, but they don't have the peace of God. And if you don't have the peace of God, you're really missing out. You've escaped the flames, but you're not living the glory. Okay, there's a big difference. Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. We're going to break this down for just a couple of minutes. It says this, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. See, Paul, in this passage, is giving us the path to having the peace of God. He's laying out the path for us. And so it starts with telling us, don't be anxious about anything. Verse 6 lays this out. Don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. Give thanks without ceasing. Don't be anxious about everything. Pray about everything. Give thanks without ceasing. And then in verse 8, think only about praise. Think only about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's the path to get the peace of God. So I've gotten the peace with God. Now I want the peace of God. And the result comes in verse 7. Did you catch that? See, remember, it's not always chronological for you. Verse 7 gives us the result. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. You ever had a peace that you couldn't understand, you couldn't fathom? You know, as a pastor of 10 years now, I've walked with a lot of people who have had to say goodbye to a loved one. And I remember one gentleman, awesome guy, lost his wife of 60 years. And it was pretty sudden. It was unexpected. And he said the same thing I heard from so many others. I have a peace that I can't explain. A peace and an understanding that I can't use any words. It's a peace that exceeds anything you can put into words. You can't possibly tell someone the peace that it is. And you know what happens? You get that peace that exceeds understanding. Then catch what Paul says in verse 7. His peace, that peace, will guard your hearts and minds. He will protect you. And I couldn't help but think that his heart was being protected by that peace from all the ache and pain that was there. You think he doesn't love you? That peace protects us from the pain and agony that is all throughout this world. You can't get away from it. And the other thing is that peace allows us to overcome the fear that paralyzes a lot of people. Whatever that fear, the fear of the pain and the agony, the fear of what might happen, we can overcome it. And so we have the peace with God. Paul tells us how to get the peace of God. And then our third part is our Miss USA statement. Peace on earth. Now, when we were young, we made fun of the beauty contestant pageant, right? Yeah. What would you? I just want peace on earth. Now I hear that and go, there will be someday. Someday there will be peace on this earth. Luke chapter 2 tells us the peace is coming. But the peace on earth is awaiting his kingdom. When his kingdom arrives, we will get peace on earth. We will have no more war. There will be peace instead of violence. There will be peace in nature. The lion will lay down with the lamb. When Mary has an angel show up, which you got to see in the movie last night when we went to see the star, they went through the angel showing up to Mary, telling Mary what was going to happen. And they did a pretty good job with it. I have a little bit different picture in my head of Mary there, because from my readings and studies, the angels are less kind of light shapes in the sky and more monstrous warriors is what I see. Like, you're 8, 9, 10 foot. Well, I mean, they're built like me. Why are you laughing? That just hurts. Man. But I think about Mary being there and this giant angel showing up, and his promise is that not only are you going to give birth to the Messiah, his kingdom will bring peace on earth forever. But it wasn't going to happen right then. See, really, the best is yet to come. There is a word, though, that we don't like. It's a B word. But only those who have peace with God will experience that kingdom. And so it comes down to our questions to finish, to think about. Do you have peace? Is there peace in your life? Is there peace in your heart? Do you have peace with God? And if you do, then the second question is, do you have the peace of God? Is His peace guarding your heart through everything that this world can throw at you? If you don't, the cool thing is, the answer is the same for both. You get it through Jesus Christ. You get peace with God and peace of God through Jesus Christ. See, he knows I'm not that smart, so he tries to keep it simple. Todd, one answer, two questions. He brings the peace. His blood brings us peace with him. That's what we're celebrating. That's what we're remembering this morning. The sacrifice on that cross and rolling out of the grave. And then our ever-increasing walk with him brings the peace of God into our life. The peace that allows us to praise him no matter what we are staring down, no matter what we're experiencing, no matter what we're going through. When our walk is continually growing closer to him, we will praise him through every storm. When we continue to grow closer to him, we will then long for the peace on earth that he will bring. We will long for him to come back. This earth will hold no magnet to us to keep us here. We will want him to bring his peace. And that peace lasts forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do want your peace. First, I lift up any person here that may not have peace with you. I ask that your Spirit would move in their heart and mind, that they would know that they can have that peace with you, and they can believe in Jesus Christ. They can know that he was the Son of God, that he was born, he lived the perfect life, he died on that cross, he conquered death. And when he did that, and we ask for your forgiveness from the depths of our heart, we can have peace with you. I also want to lift up those who have peace with you, but maybe they don't have the peace of God. That you would work in our lives to draw us closer and closer to you so that we can have that peace that guards our heart, that exceeds any understanding or explanation. That through that peace that we have, we can be shining your light to each person that we come in contact with.
And we do pray that you would bring your kingdom so that we can have the peace on this earth. Father, this earth is a crazy place with billions that need to know you. And so we ask that through it and through your peace guarding us and keeping us from being frozen, that you use us to spread your word. We would be a church and a people that shines your light in this community and everywhere around us. As we come to this table, I ask that you would quiet our hearts and just bring us in to the Holy of Holies. That you will speak to us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.